Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Valley Brook Community Church. And before I say another word, I want you all to send a lot of love, and I mean a lot of love, to Chris Mills for working so hard to get us up and running this morning. I mean, for sweating and fretting and researching and debugging and testing and the boy did a great job, so y'all give him a lot of love. And this is a first for me. I've never streamed a sermon from my home office, and it's also a first for you because you've never seen me stream a sermon from my home office. It's really kind of strange to know that you're all looking at me and I can't see you all. So I'm visualizing sort of where you normally sit on a Sunday morning, some of you. So, hey, George and Gina, and hey, Mary and Nat, and Roland, Donna, all you all, it's great to have you with us here. And I'm not suggesting this, but I'm just repeating what someone in our staff meeting said about what they were going to do during this time, since we're streaming and you can watch at home. They said they're going to get a big old bowl of popcorn, put on their slippers, and just enjoy tuning in this morning. So I'm not suggesting that. They said that's something that they couldn't ordinarily do in church, but because we're streaming, they can do it. And so I hope you're comfortable, Tracy. All right. At this time, we're going to have our announcements, and Laverne is actually going to give the announcements and the scripture reading, and then we'll get into our message. Oh, and also the offertory prayer. So without any further ado, here's my wife.
Good morning, Valley Brook and friends. The announcements, and we're gonna go in the order like we normally would our worship service. Normally we do the announcements and then we do the scripture and the offertory prayer. Our announcements. Our new app. As Dan said, our dear brother Chris Mills has been working diligently on an app by which we all make click on a single icon and reach our website on your phone and or your PC. So go to the website, valleybrook.church, for details. It'll show you how to do that. The information is right there. Second, if you would like to hear Sister Ronnie render a psalm before the message on next Sunday, that is next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, she will do so at 10:45 a.m. via Marco Polo from her home. So she won't be here. She'll be at her home because we must practice social distancing. So if you have not downloaded the Marco Polo app, please do so. Directions will be forthcoming on our website, and you will be able to do that at 10:45 next week if you'd like to. A buddy system by CareNet. CareNet has created an amazing buddy system to help us care for one another, especially those in our Valley Brook family who are at most risk of being infected with the coronavirus. Please check your email for additional information, or contact Deaconess Grace White at 301-938-8437. Again, that's Deaconess Grace White at 301-938-8437. Regarding the trip to see Queen Esther in August, sponsored by the Women's Ministry, as you know, everything is up in the air these days. We do not know where things will be by August. As we continue to fight this coronavirus war together. But Sight and Sound has been in regular contact with our dear Flamina Barnes, keeping her up to date on any cancellations. However, we certainly would like to still have something to look forward to. So if, in fact, it is able to go through in August, Flamina has extended that deadline for payment. She's moved it to Sunday, April the 26th, And so that'll even give more of us an opportunity to possibly attend. If in fact you miss the first opportunity to put down the down payment, this will give you a chance to pay in full. If you have any questions about it, please contact Flamina, and Flamina will certainly be in touch with us to let us know whether or not in time when Sight and Sound contacts her, whether it will go forward. If not, if it has to be canceled, you will all be reimbursed in full. Please pray for the strength and comfort of our dear sister Maureen Davis and her family during this difficult time of loss, as her father, Mr. Solomon Peterson Jr., passed away yesterday morning. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, the funeral service will be limited. Thus, a memorial service will be planned once social gathering restrictions have been suspended. I wish to give a shout out of thanks to Bobby Abercrombie for having his birthday on yesterday and not today. Whew, Bobby, I was really, really afraid that I was going to have to sing happy birthday this morning. And trust me, I have the kind of voice that only our grandchildren can appreciate for songs like The Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round. That's about the best I can do. So, let's see, did I go through everything? I think so. 7, tithes and contributions. You may continue your contributions right here on our website or mail those to our office that is at the 3333 Spencerville Road address in Burtonsville, Maryland. Okay. If you have any other announcements that you'd like us to give next week, let Carla Marie and or me know. Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning will be coming from Psalm 33, verses 12 through 22. Give you a few seconds to look that up in your Bibles, because we do not have our programs, our bulletins with us with that in it. So again, that's Psalm 33, verses 12 through 22. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do, everything. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Hallelujah. And our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, as we put our hope in you. Let us pray. Most Holy Father, we come to you in such a time as this. And yet we find ourselves, Lord, still with more to say thank you for than we have to request. We thank you for, God. We thank you because, Father, you have not forgotten us. You haven't forgotten a single one of us, God. We thank you, quite honestly, Lord, for the technology that we're able to use right here, right now, today, God. During such a time as this where we can't gather together physically and yet we can be together, Lord. I think about, Lord, when you quarantined once before the Israelites, when the angel of death was going to go through and kill all of the firstborn sons. And you asked the Israelites, Lord, to mark their homes with blood over their doorposts, God. And just thank God, back then they didn't have what we have. We can quickly call one another and say, do you have enough blood? Have you gotten to your doorpost? Is there somebody in your house with the strength who can do that? Is there no one there that can help you? I'll do it. But today, God, we can reach one another. We can Marco Polo, we can Skype, we can call one another on a cell phone from our homes. They couldn't call each other that night and pray with each other across from home to home as we can. They could not do that, God. I think about when Lot and his family were quarantined from Sodom and Gomorrah, God. Lot could not call down that line of family on a cell phone and remind his wife not to turn around. And he lost her. But God, in today's world, as much as we don't think about it, you have prepared us for such a time as this. You have not forgotten us. You know our names. You still know what's going on from house to house, what's happening, Lord. And last I checked, Lord, while you're doing all of this, while you are so carefully taking care of us, Lord, while you're doing all of this, guess what, Lord? The sun still rose this morning. The earth is still on its axis, God. The moon shone brightly last night. Somehow, God, you do all of these things all of the time, constantly, God, perfectly. So, God, we look forward to what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. For we know, God, that what the devil means for evil, you mean for good. So, God, I ask, God, that you use this time to continue to grow our love for one another as I've been watching it blossom all over the place. I pray, Lord, that you help us to grow closer to you. If I've heard member after member after member say, Lord, I'm getting to spend more time with you, so we're getting to know you better. And I ask, God, that you continue to use this challenging, difficult time to bring forth, God, our weaknesses and our strengths, our gifts and our talents, to do the things that we need to do to care, to love for one another, God. I ask, Lord, that you use our tithes and contributions today, Lord, that we can even do online or simply mail in, God, to further move your kingdom in the direction that you have planned. And God, I ask, Lord, for a special, special grace upon my husband and my pastor this morning, God, upon his word. For God, you know we need to hear from you. You know we're looking forward to hearing from you. You know, God, that your word will nourish us and drench us in what we need, God, just to continue one more day, just one day at a time. Let it be a lamp upon our feet, God, just one step at a time, one day at a time. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you. We adore you. We magnify you, God, for weeping endures for a night. The joy comes in the morning. I thank you in the matchless name of your only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Valley Brook and friends. It's Communion Sunday. And you know what? Today, what I would like to do is just talk about how magnificent the Lord is. Is that okay with you? I just want to talk about how magnificent he is, because this is Communion Sunday, and fourth Sundays, we take time to remember what this is all about. And what this is all about is how wonderful he is. And so I would like to just take some time this morning to do that. And since I don't see any dissenting hands raised, I'm assuming that I have unanimous consent to do so. So don't hold me to my typical message format, because I just want to talk about how wonderful and how magnificent our Lord is. Today's message is titled, But Wait, There's More. But Wait, There's More. I want you to think of this morning's message like sort of like an album of songs. Each song stands alone. You know, you can play it by itself, even though it's connected to a theme. You can put it on shuffle, and you can enjoy every song as much as if you listen to it in sequence. So that's how I want you to kind of think of this morning's message. Each of these truths that I'm going to be sharing with you is part of the album, so to speak, called But Wait, There's More. And if you just can't take it, if you're really organized and it just sounds too free form for you, here's a main idea that you can write down. The main idea is the Lord's grace towards us is simply beyond. The Lord's grace toward us is simply beyond. And you could say, well, and you might ask, beyond what? Well, that's the point. Beyond whatever it is that you can describe, insert whatever you like. Beyond understanding, beyond belief, beyond description, and even beyond imagination. And when I'm done talking about these amazing ideas about the Lord, when I'm done talking about that, I want you to, but my desire is that all of our hearts would just be ready to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you to our wonderful, wonderful Savior. And then we're going to have communion together, virtual communion. You know the story of Joseph. Very familiar, very popular. A Bible story. His brothers were jealous of him because he was their father's favorite. They conspired to kill him, but then changed their minds thanks to Reuben, the oldest of the brothers. They decided instead to throw him in a pit. Eventually, they sold him into slavery, and through a long and circuitous route, Joseph wound up becoming one of the top officials of the mightiest nation on earth at the time. A famine was ravaging the world and many lives were lost. His brothers had to come to Joseph for food. And when they discovered it was Joseph, they were terrified that he was going to take revenge upon them. And that's where the oft-quoted, very famous, very much inspiring phrase that we often hear people share comes from, and it's Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 and 20. After Joseph revealed himself, his brothers, it says, they were terrified. In verse 19, it says, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. You know, we often think of this passage as being sort of exclusively focused on Joseph's well-being. You know, he went through all these trials and God finally brought him out, and you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And we look at this in terms of him speaking about his own well-being. But if we take a wider angle at the text, it reveals the glory of God in even greater detail. Because what we want to note is what good is Joseph talking about when he says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good? Well, he tells us, it says, the saving of many lives. That's the good that God had in mind when Joseph went through all of his whole ordeal and had to suffer what he suffered. The saving of many lives. Sure, Joseph was a part of that, and Joseph's story and his odyssey was a part of that, but God had a bigger picture in mind when those guys threw Joseph in a pit. The saving of many lives. So even though God is often questioned or blamed when we have outbreaks, such as the one we're dealing with right now, such as the one that's engulfing us right now, the Lord, in his mercy, has always put people in place for the saving of many lives. He is a life saver. It's what he does. Even though the enemy turns the narrative around and looks at God as one who wants to destroy life, he's in the business of saving lives. So we can think back over history. The smallpox pandemic took many lives, but God put people in place to check it, to save the lives of many. The same thing with polio. The same thing with Ebola. You just name the diseases and we can see that somehow or some way, someone or someones came in, intervened, and were able to check it. And even though we give people the credit, and certainly God used people, even though we give people the credit, the book of Lamentations instructs us this. It says, it is because of God's great mercy that we are not consumed. It's not because of our smarts. It's because of God's great mercy that we aren't consumed. So we have reason to hope in this dark time. God is putting people right now and has put people in place for this current crisis, for the saving of many lives. The interesting thing to note, however, is that Joseph wasn't the top official of Egypt. He was up there, but he wasn't the top official. So he wasn't the king. He wasn't Pharaoh. You might say he wasn't president, but he was an official that was high enough to be able to influence policy and influence things in such a way as to save many lives. You know, in a very real sense, because this is Communion Sunday, communion is remembering God's commitment to saving lives. Luke 19:10 tells us this, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And not necessarily temporarily, earthly lives, because all of us are going to leave this earth either by the Lord coming back or by passing away. But eternally, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And Jesus said in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. There it is, perish. God is saving lives, should not perish, but have everlasting life. But wait, there's more. Romans 8:15-16. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That's Romans 8:15-16. So the Lord is calling us to something beyond the formality and the rules of religiousness. He's calling us to something intimate. He's calling us to something intimate. You know, I fell in love with the definition of admire a while back. I came across it one day and I just decided I'd look it up. And to admire is to be inspired within the soul by the substance of another person. To admire is different than being impressed or being dazzled. Musicians can impress us. Athletes can dazzle us. But admiration directs us to the core of a person's being. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to increase our admiration of Christ, to inspire within us a longing to more deeply connect with Him, to inspire within us a longing to connect with the substance of His person, beyond merely looking to Him to be impressed or dazzled by His deeds. See, the character of Christ that led him to come to this world and live for 33 years, to be doubted, to be disrespected, to be denigrated, and then to willingly die. Now that's something to be greatly admired. And then to think about why he did it. Well, that takes us to a whole nother level of just being stupefied. And we'll talk more about that in a bit. But wait. There's more. 1 Corinthians 1:8. In the Amplified Version, it says this, "And he will also confirm you to the end, keeping you strong and free of any accusation, so that you will be blameless and beyond reproach in the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you, Jesus. He will confirm you to the end, keeping you strong and free of any accusation, so that you'll be blameless and beyond reproach in the day of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's an old song that a lady that used to sing in the senior choir of our church when I was growing up, her name was Mother Shepherd, and she would sing this song, and I didn't really know what she was getting at, but everybody in the church would just fall out whenever she would start singing. And the song went like this: "In times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure." And Mother Smith, or Mother Shepherd, she would just go, "Be very, very, very sure." And people would just fall out because she put about 100 varies in there. Be very sure. Be very, very, very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Be sure your faith is in the right place. You know, Communion Sunday, which is what this is about remembering and celebrating why we as believers have a sure anchor. And we do. We have a sure anchor that grips the solid rock, our faith. But wait. There's more. Romans 5, 6 through 8. Romans 5, 6 through 8. Romans 5, 6 through 8, we read these words. "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord loves you beyond anything you do for him." I said that we talk more about the why of Jesus' coming. And that takes us to a whole new level. And this is it. It's one thing to die for somebody you think is deserving. It's quite another to die for someone who you know is your enemy. This means that he didn't save us to get from us. He saved us to give to us. When he washed the disciples' feet, he wasn't just being courteous. He He was demonstrating the values of heaven. So what can we say to these things? All of us who said yes to Jesus, to his grace, we can say, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. I was lost and you found me. I was in trouble and you redeemed me. I was vulnerable and you protected me. I was confused and you enlightened me. Some of us can say it less poetically. Some of us can say it like this. I was crazy and you put some sense into my head. That was me. I was crazy and you put some sense into my head. I was held captive and you freed me. Did you know that you were a captive? Thought you were running around free all this time, but the scripture says that we were all captives. And when it says he came to set the captives free, do you see yourself as a part of that group? Well, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you were a captive and he set you free. You were dead and he resurrected you. So we can say, thank you, Lord, for making yourself real to me. We can say, thank you for continuing to nurture my trust in you and my desire for you. We can say, thank you for writing my name in the book of life. You see what I mean? His grace towards us is simply beyond. It's simply beyond. We can say, thank you for bringing me to where I am today in you. Here's what it says in Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He is our portion, and each day he widens the gap between himself and everything else. He becomes that marvelous to us. He gives us little lessons of major importance. And I'm speaking of my grandson, Major. Major came downstairs with a loud toy and he turned on all the other loud toys. But instead of shooing them away, a different thought entered my mind. You're bigger, Lord, than even a major distraction. You are louder than Major's loud. Your voice breaks the cedar. I don't need to be quiet to hear your voice, or necessarily to quiet him down. That's my preference. But you're great enough to be heard over the din of anything. You know, I've been blessed to believe that seeking to grow in understanding and knowing the Lord is an investment that always increases in value regardless of market conditions and offers the greatest security for the future available to me. So what am I saying here? Don't desperately cling to what we think is normal in these times. Because even though we enjoy its comfortable confines and usually only leave it by force, some of life's greatest rewards lie outside of the normal, outside of the status quo. Hagar, for example, would never have known the Lord as the living one who sees me had she not been forced out of the familiar into the wilderness. You see, a comfortable life is not necessarily a full life. The Lord promises us an abundant life, a full life, a life overflowing. But that doesn't necessarily mean a comfortable life. The Lord offers us fullness of joy that comes from our relationship with him. It comes from him directly. And he's the product that gives us fullness of life. When we can say thank you, Lord, and we can say thank you, Lord, for resilience. We can say thank you for bounce back. Some of you saw this earlier in the week and many of you didn't. But I want to read for you this the view from my place from this past week. It is well with my soul. I saw a wonderful painting titled The First Day in Heaven. And it featured a woman hugging Jesus and wearing the most rapturous smile on her face. But I think when I see the Lord, I'll just break down in his arms and weep. It's over. It's over. I'm here with you. And there you are, the one that I've prayed to without seeing, the one I've felt without touching, the one I've known all my life without having a conversation one-on-one where you're speaking back to me. It's you. I'm here with you. I think that's what I'll do. I'll just break down in joyful tears, because really that's what I did as I was writing this. That's what I did this morning. In a stream of unexpected tears of joy, I told the Lord, thank you, because even as I'm still here on earth, it is well. It is well with my soul. What is the view from my place today? It is well with my soul, because God has made it well. I didn't do it. He did it. He has made it well. Through it all. I'm still here. I'm still smiling. I'm still proclaiming. I'm still rejoicing. I'm still hoping. But he's doing it. Through it all, I'm still here. Through the suffering, through the confusion, through the uncertainty, through the struggle. I gave my best. I failed my worst. And he's still here. And it is well with my soul. All the love I've received, and I've received so much love. The hurtful schemes that I've survived, and I've survived some hurtful schemes. All I've gained, all I've lost. The blessings I gave, the messes I made. Thank you, Lord, for using it all. Every sigh of longing, every tear, every smile, every laugh. As the scripture says in Psalm 86, I will give thanks to thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forever. So thank you, Jesus, for using it all. Because somehow and through it all, you are more precious to me today than you've ever been in my entire life. And you just keep getting better. You just keep getting better. Thank you for being marvelous to me in the midst of it all. And though I haven't seen you, Lord, my life is also marvelous today just because you are in it. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The Lord's marvelous grace is simply beyond. And that's why it's a privilege to remember him through communion. And that's what I'd like for us to do at this time. Just take a few moments and to remember the Lord in communion. You know, we can say thank you to the Lord for bringing us to where we are today in him. Psalm 73 says this, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my life, my portion forevermore. And each day the Lord widens the gap between himself and everything else. Each day, imperceptibly sometimes, and then there's jumps, where he widens the gap between how magnificent he is and everything else. You know, you want to talk about little lessons, and I know I said we're going to have communion, and we are in just a moment, but you want to talk about little lessons of major importance. Major came downstairs with a loud toy the other day and turned it on while I was spending time with the Lord. But instead of just quickly shooing him away, go away, Major, I'm spending time with the Lord, a different thought entered my mind. And the thought was this: Lord, you are bigger, you are even bigger than a major distraction. You're louder than Major's loud. Your voice breaks the cedar. I don't need to be quiet to hear your mighty voice. It's great to slip away, and Jesus often did slip away to quiet places, don't get me wrong, where we can just focus on the Lord. But every once in a while, the Lord wants to mix it up for us. He wants to show us that he's bigger than our routines. He wants to show us that he can handle whatever environment that we happen to be in. And his voice breaks the cedar. We don't need quiet to hear his voice. And I've been blessed to believe that seeking to grow in understanding and knowing the Lord is an investment that always increases in value, regardless of market conditions. And it offers the greatest security for the future available to me. You know, I'm thanking the Lord for bringing me to where I am in him today. Little lessons of major importance, helping me to realize that he is bigger than those distractions. Knowing that the investment in understanding and knowing him is an investment that always increases in value, regardless of what the market's doing. Here's another thing I've learned. Don't desperately cling, Dan. Don't desperately cling to normal. Because even though we enjoy its comfortable confines and usually only leave what's comfortable by force, some of life's greatest rewards lie outside of the status quo. We remember the story of Hagar, that she would never have known him as the living one who sees me had she not been forced out of the familiar. A comfortable life. And this is something that I am learning, and I'm thankful to the Lord for it. A comfortable life is not necessarily the same as a full life. A comfortable life is not necessarily the same as an abundant life. You see, the Lord himself offers us fullness of life. Fullness of joy in our relationship with the Lord is the product of all of life. He somehow takes all of life, the good, the bad, the ugly, the mysterious, the certain, the uncertain, the ups and downs, the dark, the light. He somehow takes all of that, mixes it together, and makes himself enough for us in all of it. And not only enough, but makes himself more than enough and becomes our primary desire, our heart's desire. He is able to do that. We can say, thank you, Lord. We can say, thank you for resilience. We can say, thank you, Lord, for helping us to bounce back. Some of you saw this earlier this week in the view from my place, and some of you did not, but I saw a wonderful painting titled The First Day in Heaven, and it featured a woman. I think we went through that, but anyway, by God's grace, my heart is full this morning, and I'm thankful for all of you. And I said we're going to have communion, and we're going to do that. The bread and the cup are symbols, really. I'm not going to be able to pass bread and cup, obviously, but the bread and cup are symbols. The real communion takes place in the heart, so I'm going to lift up the bread and the cup in a prayer. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26 says this: For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's suffering and you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so I'd like you to just bow your head with me, and we're going to thank the Lord for the bread and the cup. Even though we don't physically have those symbols in our hands, we can still go to the Lord with a heart full of gratitude and celebrate communion, a shared experience of his blood and his body together. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your body being broken for us. We thank you, Lord, for all that it took for you to come to this earth on our behalf. Lord, we thank you that there's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing, Lord, that we can do to lose it, that it is ours by virtue of putting our faith in you. That, Lord, as we go through our days, Lord, we recognize that our lives are different. And they're different, Lord, because your body was broken for us. That you didn't put the brakes on the suffering, although you very easily could have. We thank you, Lord, for the joy set before you. Your word says that you endured the cross. And we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you've done to bring us to this point in our relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, for building our admiration of you. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit just taking us to another level of life and love in you. We thank you that, Lord, you were, for 33 years you lived on this earth, doubted and disrespected and denigrated, and then you were willing to die. And that's something, Lord, to be greatly admired. And then we think about why you did it. And Lord, it just blows us away that because you did it for us, only for us. And we ask you, Lord, to just bless us as we remember your body. And then, Lord, we remember your blood. We thank you, Lord, for your blood being shed for us. Your word says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we thank you for loving us beyond anything that we do for you. Lord, when you washed the disciples' feet, you weren't just being courteous. You were demonstrating the values of heaven. That when we get to heaven, you're going to have the same heart of love and service that you demonstrated here on earth. And so will we. And we thank you for that, Lord. We can say thank you for rescuing us. We were lost, and you found us. We were in trouble, and you redeemed us. We were vulnerable, and you protected us. We were confused, and you enlightened us. Lord, some of us say it poetically, and others of us say it, Lord, that we were just crazy, and you put some sense into our head. We thank you for that. Thank you for all that you've done, how you've blessed us and made us your own. And we thank you for this time that we've had together. And we share this communion, this fellowship with one another, with gratitude to you. You are the founder of the feast. And we thank you for blessing us with one another, to remind one another of all that we have in you. I pray for each person that's tuned in here, Lord, whether they're friends of Valley Brook or whether they're regular attendees or whether they're members of Valley Brook, I pray for each one that you would bless their week. Lord, that you keep them safe. Lord, that you help them to be vigilant, but not paranoid. Lord, help us to maintain that balance of safe community without going into isolation that's just paralyzing. We thank you that you have this whole thing under control, Lord. You know exactly where we are with this pandemic. You know exactly what the outcome is. You know what the end is from the beginning. And we thank you, Lord, that our lives are in your hands. Lord, it's not, our lives do not turn on or depend on a cough or a sneeze coming in our direction. Lord, we want to be vigilant and careful, but we know that our lives are in your hands and that it is appointed for us once to die. And then after that, Lord, we'll see you face to face. But that appointment is yours and yours alone to make. We are not here by chance. We are here by your choice. And so we thank you, Lord, for this time here together. We know there's more, but wait, there's more. I just gave a little tip of what is available, Lord. Your word says the riches of Christ are unsearchable. And with my trembling, feeble tongue, Lord, I've only scratched the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg of what we have in you. So your family, Lord, as we are gathered here virtually via this marvelous technology, our family, Lord, we celebrate you. We lift our hands up to you and we say, thank you, Jesus, for making it possible. Thank you for giving us eternal life, not only physical life, but we thank you for eternal life. And we thank you that you're the founder of the feast that we enjoy together, that we celebrate with one another week after week. This past week, Lord, there have been little messages exchanged via Marco Polo and text messages and emails. And on occasion, we've seen each other, Lord, from a distance. And maybe some of us have dared to come up and put elbows together. But you know, Lord, the bond that we have in you, Lord, cannot be severed. Nor can we be separated physically or spiritually by our physical distance from one another. Spiritually, we are one no matter where we are. And we thank you for that glorious truth that all over the world, we're united in you, with you as our head. And so I pray for my brothers and sisters who are tuned in here, Lord, watching. I pray that you bless them with these truths, Lord, that you bless them to remember. But wait, wherever they are, whatever they've had, Lord, whatever blessings you've given them, whatever joy they've experienced in you, I pray that you just take it to another level. Help their hearts to say, but wait, there's more. Help their hearts, Lord, to realize that with you, your grace is simply beyond anything that we could believe, anything that we could imagine, anything that we've experienced. And I pray that this week you would give us an even greater portion of the truth of who you are. And we thank you for all these blessings and so much more in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. I hope that you've enjoyed it. Next week, we're going to be even better. We're going to have a little bit more flow. My dear wife mentioned to you, Ronnie will be giving us a song at 10:45 via Marco Polo, since she's not going to be in the same space with us. And we hope that this week, and we pray that this week, you'd encourage somebody, that you would help someone else to realize that there's more. But wait, sister, there's more. But wait, brother, there's more. I pray that that could be our motto this week, and that we'd all understand that God's grace, by his grace, what we have is simply beyond. Love you all. God bless. We'll see you next week.